This is Joanna Schrader reporting for AgWire.com, and I'm here at the Cattle Industry Summer Conference, and I'm with Don Pemberton. Don, how are you?
I'm doing fine, John.
Well, Don, I have to say you're a neighbor of my parents. You're from Hopkinsville, Kentucky. You're actually a rancher there. And I have been there, which I'm sure you're shocked, but my parents live in Tennessee, and I drive through, and I've spent some time. It's a great area.
I never cease to be amazed at how small a world or how small an industry this is. So when we started talking about the same people, it's like, you got to be kidding me. But it's true. She proved that she was true.
I know. We know the same people in that town. But, you know, Kentucky actually is a great area to have ranches. And I think you start to get to the South, and the South is very well known for that. So, Don, is this a family business for you, or is this something that you started yourself?
No, it's a family business. So I've been in operation about 40-some years now, and we're a backgrounding operation in Kentucky. We've got a small cow-calf herd, and we also have a livestock order-buying barn in Hopkinsville as well.
So, Don, you've recently been elected NCBA. You've recently been elected as vice chair of the policy division. So I think the big joke going around this week is that you're policy all the time. Although we managed to talk about not policy and talk about Kentucky. But how did you end up getting in this position? I know that it's fairly new to you. So how did you get involved with NCBA?
I've been a longtime NCBA member. It's always been important to let an association represent me when it's home and it didn't have time to travel or not an expert on every issue, but they had your back, if you will. My journey really started out in a state cattlemen's association in Kentucky, and I served as president of our state association, and after that I got elected to the executive committee for national cattlemen's, and then out of that grew as an officer position.
So, Don, you probably know better than anybody, obviously, being a producer and sort of how you've come into this organization, about some of the policy issues that affect you, potentially your business at both a state level and a federal level. So what are some of those things that you've been advocating for, not only this year, but maybe in the last several years?
Yeah, the three main issues right now before us is, number one is the regulations coming out of the EPA. We've seen this administration, an increase in overzealous administrations, it really makes it difficult to do business if they all get implemented. There's been some talk around Washington that they may start to repeal back some of these regulations on greenhouse gases and dust. I sure hope that they will think about that, how they're affecting the small business owner of the ranchers and farmers across this nation. We are only going to have to grow more food to increase the growing world population. And to let something like this stand in the way, it interferes with the discussion of how we're going to meet the increasingly demand for food.
Well, Don, you know, it's unfortunate, but you're in competition with big business. Say, big food, big enviro, you know, they've had a big say in how they think that you should be managing your business, when in fact nobody knows better than a producer himself. So why do you think you haven't been heard in Washington? You know, what do you think changed in this past administration that let some of these regulations even get put on the table?
Well, that's a good question, and I don't know if I can specifically know the answer to that. If you think back over the past two to three generations, you know, three generations, most people knew somebody that was involved in agriculture. Now, most are at least two generations removed from the farm, and their grandparents probably don't own a farm anymore. So we become such a small percentage of the voice in Washington, D.C. that we really have to work hard to make our message heard. But yet, if there ever was a shortage of bread or milk or protein at the grocery store, my goodness, this would become the biggest issue this country was facing. So we're like this silent voice out here that needs to be heard, because we're telling you how important it is. We need to have free opportunity to grow the food and the fiber and the protein that this world needs.
Well, Don, I don't think people realize, you mentioned how it used to be two generations ago that you knew somebody in agriculture, and today you could probably pick 20 people off the street and they wouldn't know anybody. But look at how much food you're producing, and look at how much beef that you're producing with less ranchers. How does that work? How has your business changed? And what is it that consumers need to understand and policymakers need to understand, So that in order that you that our cattle producers and agriculture can keep producing our food?
Well, it's quite simple. As with any commodity business, you have to get more efficient. And a lot of times, for some people, as myself, that means you've got to get bigger and produce more. You got to produce more output to reduce your average variable cost. And that's what we seem to be trying to do. And this, as our every quarter, it looks like our input cost has gone up from the quarter before. So you just got to spread them out over more units. So the efficiencies and technological advances is how we're growing so much more food, so much more pounds of beef than we did before. Now, and specifically with the beef industry, the genetics, we've improved them dramatically to what they was 30 years ago. So the pounds of beef we're producing, we're able to do it with a lot less producers. But I wish we could have a lot more.
So, Don, one of the things that I find interesting is that globally, you know, not only here in the U.S., but globally, the world is looking to the U.S. and cattle producers to provide beef and to provide our protein. But unfortunately, in Washington, D.C., we're seeing these policies put on the table that makes it more difficult every single day for you to produce that food. So where's the disconnect? You know, why are people in one end saying, hey, we need you to produce the food, and the other end saying, well, we're going to make it really difficult for you to do that? What do they need to understand about what it's going to take to be able to produce food?
Well, I think there's a disconnect on people that's never ran a ranch before or whatever. They somehow think that we are bad for the environment. In my opinion, and it's, I mean, it may be a personal opinion, there is no better environmentalist than the farmers and ranchers that we have, because in order to get the maximum use out of our land, we have to treat it with the utmost care. Grass to us is a crop. We try to grow as much grass as we can in the most environmentally friendly manner that we can, so because that allows us to put cheaper gain upon the cattle. So we feel that we are some of the best stewards for the land that there is.
So, Don, you know, for you taking over this vice chair position, what's the next step? You're here at all these committee meetings today. You know, you're going to be preparing for your national convention in Denver, and Nashville in February. What's your next step?
We're going to keep on working on the policy issues that's before us. As always, we are searching for membership within NCBA. We want our goal is to have significantly more cattle members would sign up and join NCBA. So if anybody would love to do it, please check out our website, beefusa.org, and see, and you can follow the details on there and how to join an organization that will represent you in this industry.